You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Justin Bieber say, Christian was staring out his window lovingly at a pizza shop thinking of Alexis during their break.
Bro, you didn't once think about me wondering, like, I wonder what he's doing right now. Seriously.
And
what? Cut the bullshit, Christian.
When I think about you, I'm not thinking about, I wonder what Alexis is up to right now.
I think about you all the time, dude.
You think about what I'm doing, yes, at any given moment?
Because you're kind of a placid dude. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You don't really shake it up too much.
So I'm doing something pretty boring in your eyes.
Either that or like when everyone like Nutmeg and Helene walk out of the room, I don't know, you jump on the couch and do air guitar or something.
Nah,
you know,
bro. I got Guitar Hero for that. So during the break, a couple things I've done.
Tell me what you did during the break. What did you do during the break, Christian?
I went to the Catskills. I went to Auto Camp.
Yeah, which I've also been to.
Yeah, which is
how long were you there for?
I was there for two nights, 3 days.
Okay. All right. I was there for one night.
Yeah, it was it's a trailer park, for the lack of a better.
100% a very fancy trailer park in the woods.
Exactly. If Williamsburg was a big trailer park, this is what Auto Camp would be. It was great.
First of all, everyone there from Brooklyn.
Right. Totally,
everyone.
Totally.
One guy from Boston with a group of people from Brooklyn. It was shocking.
So
cool clubhouse.
Cool club. The clubhouse was very cool. Yeah. I had, you know, a bunch of games. I had Jenga.
Okay. I didn't partake. But I saw it and I was like, this is cool. I bought wine.
But they allow dogs, so we brought Nutmeg as well.
This is why I left early.
And Nutmeg,
I said I won out.
He loved it because he's like,
it's,
you know,
all stones everywhere.
Yeah, smelling all the new smells. He's right, like, right. I've never been.
Get your head out of there. We don't know this guy.
But he also did. I had to be careful because he's like so excited about the different places. And this, because there's a lot of dogs, the dogs are always like marking their territory, peeing on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's a lot of bushes everywhere.
I did the same thing at Auto
Camp. Yes. So he did.
Pulled it out, did a little lap around the trailer.
Apologies to Auto Camp. But Nutmeg did. He peed a little bit on the Jenga blocks. He didn't know that it wasn't a thing.
Hey. All right, he said, I got next.
It's like when you put a quarter in an arcade.
You ever play pool at like a CD bar or whatever? You take your four quarters and you put it on the ledge. And you're like,
hey, yeah.
Your names aren't on the quarter. I mean, there's quarters everywhere. I don't know who's first, who's second. But this was the dog version of that.
Correct. Yeah.
And peed on the Jenga block.
He peed a little bit.
You can't take Nutmeg.
I mean, who among us has not grabbed a couple Jenga blocks with pee on it?
First of all, I've been to a bar called Breakers in Queens. Guarantee you there's pee on it because it's Queens. And second of all, this is why you don't miss me. You've essentially got an Alexis replacement.
Yes.
And having to corral Nutmeg.
Correct. Because I have to tell you all the time, hey, don't pee on that. Don't do that.
And I'm like, but the Jenga blocks are sitting right here.
Why would I not pee on them if they're so close to me?
How are people going to know I got next?
So that is what you do.
No, that's a great question. I went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, let's go. Bad Bunny. Did you see Bad Bunny throwing a lady's cell phone who was harassing him?
First of all, I co-signed Bad Bunny. You hear what he said?
I didn't hear what he said.
He said, if you come up to me and you want to say hi and you want to talk, we're friends. It's fine. Friendly conversation.
Yeah.
If all you want to do is come put a camera in my face, then yeah, I consider you being disrespectful.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Yo, this is a cosign for everyone who's listening or watching, bro. If you come up to it, you put your phone in this man's face and you can get social media content. Everything's going to be gravy. You put your phone in my face, I'm throwing it at Bad Bunny. Not even in the ocean. I'm going to have to find Bad Bunny and then throw a phone at him.
Got it. All right. Well, so there.
Everyone know what it is.
You've been warned.
So, yeah, we went to Puerto Rico. We hung out in a beautiful hotel. 1919. Which was the date that the hotel opened, I believe, or at least Vanderbilt was, something happened there.
Okay. Sounds wealthy, bro.
Oh, no, it was way above my pay grade. And I was just like, you for sure, my credit card went through, right? I kept asking. They're like, sir, we ran it once.
Right.
I'm like, just in case. 1919 might be one of the greatest, restaurant experiences we've ever had. And the night before, we went to a place called Cocina Abierta, which was absolutely incredible. It's a prefix menu. You pick one from each. And every dish that was put down, my wife and I were like, I almost got up and ate another group of people's food. Also, table next to me, they're all from somewhere hipstery, right? That wasn't Brooklyn. It wasn't Portland. But somewhere where, you know, you could dress like you live in either one of those cities and it's okay.
Yeah.
And their entire conversation was about the world of comedy. And none of them like it. All four of them, four people.
It's a problematic industry.
Just being as wildly judgy, but not even of like, oh, these people are saying things that I don't agree with, or maybe they're punching down.
Yeah.
It was just, here's what we don't like about comedy. And can I tell you what their expertise, their prerequisite for having such an informed conversation about the industry, the person sitting next to them unknowingly
is
a part of. One of the people is a woman who is a mid-level executive somewhere. She was asked to take a stand-up class as part of her orientation for that management course. So she took a two-day stand-up class. They just took a chopper to the entire industry.
Bro.
Friends of ours were catching strays.
The reason we're experts because we did the seven-day class.
Oh, see? Okay? This is important.
And she just needed a couple more days
into it. We didn't volunteer for the class. We were asked to do it as part of our orientation. But I could not. I didn't know. And the whole time Donald was like, don't ruin this fucking dinner by saying something. You need to just sit here. Forget about him. I mean, the only comic they said they liked was one guy liked Dimitri Martin and someone else said they liked Birbiglia.
Two unproblematic kings,
love
to see it.
You're not going to, there's no, I wouldn't laugh too hard, but I would laugh at both of them. They're very funny.
What did Dimitri Martin draw this time?
I know. Oh, pull the easel out. Only with consent. It's easel consent. It was just you kind of ruined a relatively special dinner.
And they didn't even know that. Look at that.
Rest of the time, no. The Jacuzzi Boys, bro. Just me and wifey. I don't know why she's a boy.
She's one of the boys.
She's one of the boys, bro. And let me tell you something. The boys have a special relationship.
Okay, you love to see it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Oh, that's right. We're doing hellos again. Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Look, we have a lot of thank you to everybody who tuned in during the World Cup.
You know what? Morgan Tenza says, wow, Christian, rude. You didn't even mention the best part of your break.
That's right. I did get lunch with Morgan. Morgan came to see the studio.
Yeah, Morgan, that's way more important than his pregnant wife and the trip they took.
Good. I'm glad I have you in the chat to really remind me of my priorities.
Yeah. Also, Morgan, you want us to talk about it? You got to take a pee on a couple blocks.
You didn't pee on any Jenga blocks.
No, I walked in here. This is still my territory. You didn't mark it at all.
So, so I got to hang out with Morgan. So shout out to Morgan Tenza coming through. The World Cup.
Yeah.
An incredible time. If you haven't tuned into our Patreon episode with Harry, our producer Harry.
You got to hear a Harry exit interview.
Right. Harry's no longer
Harry's not here anymore.
But if you want to get to know all the details of like what it's like to cover the World Cup every single day, you join the Patreon and listen to the No Cap Recap. But I do want to point out, thank you to everybody who tuned into the World Cup. We have a lot of new listeners that maybe getting into the sport for the first time, listening to the Cooligans for the first time. So I just want to say thank you. Welcome. Thank you for sticking around.
Things will remind you. Not everything goes away, okay? Some of it's going to be the same.
It's going to feel like
home.
We're
not going to be talking about World Cup anymore.
So the World Cup is over. There've been a lot of, even like Mbappe and Hakimi were at the Nets game yesterday. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And Hakimi.
Is that possible?
How is what possible?
I guess they're still on break. The Premier League confused me.
Right, the Premier League
refuses to take a break.
Yeah, they went right back at it.
Yeah.
They gave it was really the the 18th or the 20th was the final. The 20th, right? The 20th.
No, the 20th.
December 20th was
the final. No, 18th, because the 19th I flew out.
Got it. So the 18th was the final, and then the 26th was the return of the Premier League. And they did the Boxing Day fixtures.
Yes.
I mean, it felt like...
And then like 2 days later, did more fixtures.
It felt like an NBA schedule, because it felt like, oh, you got one night off. Figure it out. Yeah. You know?
You might want to hustle.
But no, Bundesliga, Ligue 1, La Liga. La Liga did come back.
La Liga's back. Yeah.
But Premier League definitely has the most matches since the World Cup.
Dude, it just will not stop. And you know what else won't stop? Arsenal winning, baby.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover. So this is gonna be somewhat of a recap episode. So if there's anything you think that we should discuss, please, people in the chat, put it in the chat. Let us know just so we don't miss anything. But obviously, I think we should start with the tragic news. And it sucks that you don't know what I'm talking about when I say that. But obviously, the more recent one was in the NFL. Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, well, it's not tragic just yet because he is still alive, stable, but critical condition.
Yes, but scary to see, and it's just a thing you don't want to see in sports. But definitely, similar to I think when Christian Eriksen collapsed in the Euros two years ago, right? That felt like it's happened before in soccer.
That was a cardiac arrest. And even though this was also, I think I shared this with you when we found out, unfortunately, and again, you know, we've talked about it, but rest in peace, obviously, to Grant Wall. When we talked about Grant Wall's passing, and it was a AAA that he had, once that became public information, when Celine tweeted it out, I said that to my wife, and she goes, oh, he doesn't look like someone who should have had a AAA. She's like, people who had AAAs are more shaped like you are.
You keep saying AAA, but people think you're referring to the car.
That's how he passed, dude. No. If he had Geico.
Say what you're talking about.
I don't know what the first... It's an aortic aneurysm. I don't know what the first part is.
Right.
I don't know what the first word is. Uh-huh. I apologize. But it is called a AAA. It's essentially a ballooning of the aorta, of the big sort of stalk vein that runs through your center of your body. Which I get mine checked because I'm a bigger guy. Typically, someone who has a AAA would look like me.
Sure.
They wouldn't be tall, lanky, and have a long jaw. As soon as my wife saw that, she goes, oh, he must have had Marfan, which I've never heard of, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. It's a syndrome of people who they end up looking almost like Snoop Dogg, very lanky, very long jaw, how Grant Wall looked. And sure. I was like, how do you know this? You know, I'm just, every once in a while, she'll say something where I'm like, how do you know this? And she's like, I don't know. And then it turns out he had Marfan.
Right? Oh, okay.
So she diagnosed. She's like, I'm surprised he wasn't checked. I could have told him he had Marfan from just looking at him. And I'm like, what do you need to say something? What do I have? You know? And she's like, you're fat. I'm like, stop talking. I'm like, okay, we're done. We're done analyzing.
It's a scary thing just because, you know, a lot of the concern is.
Let me point out I showed my wife the hit that Damar took.
Yeah.
And shoulder into the center of his chest. She goes, oh, he had a blank. I don't remember the word she used, mm-hmm. but essentially what happened is she believes, just from watching the hit and the way he sort of got up and then collapsed, that the hit jostled his heartbeat and threw it off of
the rhythm. Off of rhythm, which is that's what people have been saying. I forgot the name of the
ATEP or something like that.
No, it starts it's with a C. I forgot the name of the condition, but essentially he just hit so hard that he got. The theory is that he got hit at just like the wrong time,
or the exact right time,
right? And it stopped the rhythm of his heart.
It shifts it away from the electric sort of impulse that your brain is sending.
It's just a terrifying thing to see, and because sports is so.
People saying like, "Yo, it turns out wifey mass smart." also, yes, Abraham Lincoln did have it.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln had the same. Sort of gangly.
Oh, yeah, I am. Damn, that's what got him, right?
Yeah, man. man, would have got him in a week.
Sucks how we lost him like that. It's just that, you know, when moments like that, especially Monday Night Football, there's just so many people watching.
Let's say the NFL don't postpone games for anything.
Right. But the main thing is just that there's fewer and fewer times now in I think in society, especially in the United States, where people are watching the exact same thing at the same time and experiencing something at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the internet.
Yeah, yeah. TV is
there's
not
no
the
Johnny
same.
Carson.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You know? So it's that's what it is. The internet like just kind of goes awry, and everybody's like, oh my God, everybody's experiencing the same exact thing you're experiencing. So it's
always know when that's happening because the tweets will be like, I hope he's okay. Like there's no name associated, but everybody.
It devolves into, you know, terrible tweets and how could you say this at this moment? And it's all, it's, look.
All you have to do is send a negative tweet towards Skip Bayless. You don't even have to read Skip Bayless's tweets.
First, he's like, as soon as there's some tragedy, he's like, let me get, I'm going to deliver the wrong take right now.
Yo, what's the angle no one's soul is willing to take? Because I'll take it.
It just, again, it highlights the desperate need for, attention, likes, views.
We are. So I was having this conversation with someone that we're in a creator economy now.
Yeah, dude.
Where the creators sort of have sort of a control of attention. And it's, I don't necessarily agree with it. I think we're in an algorithm economy. I think creators have figured out a way to get more attention from the algorithms. And people like Skip Bayless are like, I need my hit.
Yeah, well, I would say it's a symbiotic relationship.
Okay, well, I'm just going to Google symbiotic.
But it doesn't take it. It's still tragic and scary, and we hope he's okay. And then the other, when I was mentioning just another tragedy, another sad day, is the loss of Pelé. And apologies for starting the show on just, I guess we started on the peeing on Jenga blocks, but now we get to the more serious stuff. But yes, the loss of Pelé was another, difficult thing. I mean, we talked about it during the World Cup when it was sort of rumored that he was going into hospice. And then, we got the confirmation. We got the news that we didn't want to hear. But just another, the one person I definitely recommend is on The Athletic, Pablo Maurer. Who's also a dear friend, Mike Thomas, called it Christian's tragedy corner. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what I'm here for.
It's what he loves, dude.
But Pablo Maurer in The Athletic wrote a lot about Pelé, and I've been reading a lot of his stuff. And you know, there is a, I mean, it, you know, you don't need me to tell you how important of a figure he was, but there I think for, in the last maybe, maybe 15, 20 years, I think you tend to forget how impactful Pelé was. And, I was a kid when Pelé had already retired when I was born.
Yeah, we're not. Well, that's not true.
When did he?
He played in the 80s, right? In maybe.
Yeah,
he might have been. Yeah.
But the fact that he was sort of, I'm reading everything about him and just seeing more of, there was that video going around of like, Pelé did everything first with it. I think we talked about
Cruyff turn, everything.
All that stuff. But
nutmegging.
Then the other one about, in the 66 World Cup, when he was getting, teams were just like, oh, he's the best one. We're just going to follow him relentlessly. Like they really, he was also one of the people that changed the way the game is played because the Hack-a-Shaq was like Hack-a-Pelé first.
And shouts to Five-A-Side, the podcast, who sort of talked about how the reason why Brazilian players were at that point, especially in his era, better with the ball at their feet is because black players in Brazil weren't allowed to play at the highest levels. So once they did, the white players wouldn't even get carded for two-footing them and stuff.
Yeah.
So they had to learn how to be a bit more creative to avoid.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't realize. I guess at some point, it yellow cards and red cards were instituted in the game. But for a long time, they didn't exist. You could just foul as much as you wanted.
It was a horrific game.
It was a
nightmare. Also, someone would break their leg and you couldn't even replace them.
That's right. If you were down a player, if there was an injury, there was simply you were just down a player. It was, that I knew about. But just such a huge figure and in the game, and you realize as far as a marketable superstar, mm-hmm. like he was just really one of the first once that in the television era, leaving radio into television, Pelé was just one of the first global names that so many people knew all over the world. And that's and it's just such a humble when you hear him speak and talk about what he wanted to do with his life and spread the game and mm-hmm. and talk about how much the game could change the world and impact people's lives. And
he was the first one that could do that, for sure.
Bring people out of poverty and all this other stuff. And so just an absolute humanitarian. It's just, you know.
An incredible dude. And also, I would say he was the first person that was like a maybe even a global sports idol.
Mm-hmm.
I can maybe Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe guys like that. But as far as maybe of like team sports, seems like he's the first one who was like of global effect. Yeah. And maybe he didn't affect a lot of people in the U.S., but obviously it was a big name because, you know, when NASL first started at that time,
yeah.
that time they were selling out stadiums.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, I always, like Mike Thomas just mentioned that Pelé was the only soccer name I knew before I knew anything about soccer. But, like, I have the connection of Pelé with Freddie Adu. Freddie Adu was like the
what an odd connection to have with Pelé because
he was the next Pelé. He was that was all the ads and everything, and that was I think one of my first. You know, I knew Pelé obviously, but that's when I was like seeing him.
You were like Pelé, oh Freddie Adu's uncle.
Okay, yo, does Freddie co-sign him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the old Freddie Adu. I remember him.
So just look, an amazing dude, and I'm sure we'll spend more time talking about him in the future. But yeah, just look, just a sad. Look, the World Cup had a lot of sadness as well, on top of,
there was a lot of
excitement.
There was some negativity for sure. But we talked about on this show, just to mention how much it meant to me growing up, Pelé was, you know, a name. Everyone, even if you didn't know soccer, you knew Pelé.
Yeah.
In fact, some people would just call the, you know, any reference to soccer, Pelé would be it, as opposed to saying soccer or any club or whatever. In high school, we had, I mean, this became a joke in our chat, Pelé blank. You know, we had a crew.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason we called ourselves Pelé is because we were good at kicking at the girls.
Okay.
It's as embarrassing as you think. And I was Pelé funny because I was funny. So, you know, Pelé tall.
I'm glad you explained that.
Pelé IT. You know.
Pelé boring.
Yeah. You know? Pelé smart sweets. You know what I mean? We all have our own Pelé.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, shouts to... rest in peace to Pelé. Rest in peace to Pelé, and we got a chance to interview his daughter, which was really cool.
That's right, Bryce. Kelly. Yeah, so obviously feeling very much for the family. Yeah, it's just a difficult time. So,
shouts. By the way, in the chat they're asking what the S&P on my hat stands for. The guys from Court Street Grocers took over S&P Eisenberg's, or Eisenberg's used to be called S&P Sandwich Shop way back in the day. And saved it. We went. It was incredible. Took my nephew. Showed my nephew the studio. Took my nephew to the studio. He's 12 years old. Young, impressionable boy. No reason why he should be allowed to hang out with me. someone called you Pelé XL. Ben just calling. Which McCall- Alexis said shout out to his family. I did do the. I did do it. I corrected myself
who,
at least.
Who was it that said
that? That was Tiesto, right?
No, not Tiesto. What was his name?
DJ.
That one of the DJs. I forgot his name. Damn.
Anyway, that was at an MLS event. Most people don't remember that.
Yes.
That was an MLS live stream. Mm-hmm. Which we call it. So yeah, I took my nephew. I brought my nephew to the studio, and he walks in, and he goes, "Whoa. You own this building?" And I was like, "Yo, slow down, bro.
I'm far from
who do you think your uncle is?
That kind of successful.
Do you see what I'm wearing?" But I'm like, "No, I'm allowed to work in this four walls." I go, he checked out the studio. I took him to OS. I took him to SMP, and I was talking to the owner, and I didn't realize it was the owner. I was just talking to the guy in front of me. It's a long mm-hmm. counter. And he goes, "Hey, you go in the high room a lot, don't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "Cool." I was like, "Hey, man, gray hat." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, we only have 5 left." I'm like, "Yo, could you save one for me? I want to buy one on the way out." "Absolutely." Guy walks over, and he goes, "Hey, man, we've never met. I'm one of the owners. I own Corsair Grocers, High Room, and this. I've seen you supporting our other restaurants before. So here's the hat on the house." And my nephew goes, "Cool hat." And in my head, I go, "Yeah, bro, you better buy one." And I'm wearing it right here. The kid thought I was going to give it to him.
Wow.
"No, bro, you ain't go. Did you go to High Room?" The answer's
you
no.
You could have
dude.
Done such an. You could have left a huge impression of such a kind thing for your nephew. Nah.
No chance in hell,
you're,
bro.
You're like, look at my clout.
No, bro. You should be impressed with my clout.
You're just rocking. You wish this was you, huh?
No, damn, bro. You need to step your game up, Maji. I suggest you start going to restaurants.
One day, if you work hard enough, you could get fat like me.
I know, bro. Hey, if someone has a AAA, you want to be the kind of guy that everyone assumes would have had it first. But I did buy him his first pair of all-white low-top Air Force Ones.
Wow.
The dude at the store was like, you don't understand what is being bestowed upon you,
sir.
This
is like, for a Cuban kid, this is like his bar mitzvah, bro.
But basically, bro, I was like, yo, this is better than cutting off a piece of that. No. And I gave him this, and I was like, bro, you understand? Like, I have to show you how to tie these, how to lace these up right. You know, and the guy goes, and I said to my nephew, I go, yo, you get like 5 wears max. Unless they're cooked. Then they just become like your throwaways. Like, you can't wear these out.
Right.
These are the throw out the garbage. Maybe go to McDonald's or something. You know what I mean? You can't hang out with your friends after like 3 or 5 wears. And he was like, why would I buy a pair of sneakers? I'm like, do not judge. This is the culture you have been assigned. You growing up in Newark. And the guy at the store, I go, let me ask you a question. How many times do you think he could wear this before he's done? He's like, bro, you get 3, 5 max. 3 to 5 max. And the kid was like, my God, this isn't just you. The kid thinks I'm a maniac. I'm wearing the S&P hat that he wanted. You know what I mean? The kid thinks I'm a maniac.
I mean, it is, whatever. It's a pretty ridiculous culture.
It is not a pretty ridiculous culture. You got to have some things you hold on to, Christian.
It's mostly a waste of money. But
our traditions are the things that we can hand down to the next generation.
Traditions?
Yes.
These traditions, what, that was started by Nike to sell a bunch of extra sneakers?
Nike didn't start this tradition. We moved the culture. You think Timberland set out to be like, let's make a work boot that also you could step on rats while you're selling drugs in the Bronx?
It's just very convenient to be like, you can only wear it 5 times. Then you got to spend another $90 on these.
110.
110. Wow, that's the culture.
It went up.
It's tradition.
Yo, you want to be that guy. You want to get a free hat, you got to eat some sandwiches. You want to look fresh, you're going to have to buy some sneakers, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, my God.
Cuban fiddler on the roof. That's how we impart our culture.
These two said, Christian about to get himself canceled out here with this attitude.
Bro, this dude will wear cooked-ass Forces, bro. He don't have Forces. He's a Forces guy.
I think I owned a pair.
You're going to hurt my soul with whatever number you bring right now.
No, I mean, I had high-top Dunks. I don't think I've ever had a low-top.
We ain't talking about Dunks. We're talking about Forces.
Air Force Ones, it's the same, but whatever. They're the same sneaker. One is high top, one is low top.
But they're not Dunks.
They're not Dunks. Correct.
Dunks are separate.
Right.
I've
Dunks. They have a slight. Dunks on.
Dunks are, first of all, they feel very
they're
different.
They're literally the same
they
shoe.
They are not the same shoe. Tommy V says the hat stands for strippers and pizza, which is like he spells strippers with a dollar sign instead of an S. Under no circumstances are Dunks and Air Force Ones the same sneakers. They're both basketball sneakers, but Dunks don't have the air cushioning or the I think it's more of a, what is it, like a honeycomb inside that Air Force Ones. Air Force Ones are ridiculously comfortable sneakers.
Oh, sure. They're fine.
Dunks are not.
Okay. I haven't worn either in over 15 years.
Low-key, though, shouts to SB Dunks. They got the little boingy, you know, the little bouncy cushion.
Boingy?
I didn't want to go boing.
We don't got that button?
We got the boingy.
Okay. All
black
right.
Air Force Ones go further. By the way, nephew showed up in all black Air Force Ones.
Good for him. All right. Bro. You're raising a little criminal.
Like,
got
kid,
it.
This kid is going to rob S&P. I'm surprised he didn't rob me from my app, bro.
Okay. Let's get into some of the big news.
Jamie Boyce said, the look on your face when Christian called Air Force Ones and Dunks the same thing. Bro, you know what to edit. You know what that cut. You know what that clip.
The Cristiano Ronaldo is a player at Al Nassr. Nassr? I don't know how to say his.
I'm going to go with Nassr.
Nassr.
Yeah.
He did the Piers Morgan interview. He was like, yo, I'm done here. They did pull up that old quote of him saying, I don't want to retire in
I
Dubai.
I want to retire with dignity.
I want to retire with dignity, in Saudi Arabia or Dubai.
He didn't say
Saudi Arabia. He said not in Dubai.
In the U.S. or Dubai.
Right.
So technically.
I mean, I guess that's where you, that the dignity is still there.
Yeah. You managed to. But here's what I want to talk about with Cristiano Ronaldo. Where did it all go wrong? Now that the story is filled out.
In Vegas? I don't know.
But like, you know, like the Yes. On a personal level, yes. Okay. I'm not touching that subject, but yes, of course. And that's why we don't really talk about him with glowing reviews on this show. But you know, the conversation about you watch Breaking Bad. You've watched all the episodes.
Yes.
You know, the question is, when did he break bad, right? As a character. You've heard the term Breaking Bad. What would you say was the moment he broke bad?
Huh, that's a good question. I mean, I guess it would be, I didn't really watch him when he was at Manchester United the first time around.
I thought we were talking about the character from the show Breaking Bad.
Oh, the show. I thought you meant when Ronaldo broke bad.
I was like, when the fuck? what's his name? Hugh White? What was the character's name?
Walter White.
Walter White. When did Walter White turn Manchester United? No, on the show, when would you say he broke bad?
I mean, it's up to interpretation. I guess when he started making meth is a pretty bad.
the writer's not that far. The writer, because I was like, oh, it was when he did this or when he decided to. The writer said the moment he decided to sell drugs was the moment he broke bad.
Right.
There's no, everything else is correlated to that one decision and him trying to make that work.
Yeah.
So that brings me to Cristiano Ronaldo. Right, who played with Walter White at Manchester United.
Biggest drug dealer in Europe. We all know that.
Popular like one. When did Cristiano Ronaldo, Hugh White, wears dunk for exclusively?
Thank you, Joe.
Joe Whitlock finds a way to put all of my mistakes in one text. When did Cristiano Ronaldo break bad? Like, when did his career make that turn? Was it going to Juventus? Was it after Juventus and trying to get to City? Was it Sir Alex Ferguson's phone call, which seemingly has ruined everything?
I would say it's probably sometime during his time at Real Madrid. I think all that success and professional success and then the commercial success. As soon as the conversations of I would say like 10, 12 years ago, like Ronaldo, Messi, we knew these are the two next,
right.
Jordan Bird, Magic Bird, whatever. As soon as he broke bad when Instagram came out. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
As soon as he became such a, more than a player and became he became more of a brand than he did a player. That would probably be the time. So I would say sometime during his time at Real Madrid. Because realistically, if he was such a beloved player, I think he would have just stayed at Real Madrid for a longer time. If he still had really something to offer, I assume Real Madrid was happy to let him go.
I mean, a nice cold brew said, yeah, when Madrid says you're past it, you're past it. They hang on to players forever. And that's the thing. Sergio Ramos was there for a very long time, very functional. Casemiro, obviously not an incredibly old guy, but played a lot of minutes, played there long enough. They sell him seemingly at the right moment after a little bit of injury trouble. I mean, and the jokes about, you know, Real Madrid having a lot of control or whatever, I think we should put a little bit of respect on their name. They're financially fairly solvent. They seem to be making smart decisions, and they seem to be continuing to win while doing that. They seem to be a well-run club. But at the time, I think people would have said, Cristiano Ronaldo, why would Real Madrid not want to re-sign him? He's a commercial juggernaut. He brings so much to the club. He's an idol at Real Madrid. And Real Madrid made the business decision to say, like, we're done. We're going to move on. We're going to go with Benzema up front towards the end of his career. That's the moment. It may not have been something within Real Madrid. I think it's with him just still trying to clutch onto that being the best.
Okay.
Instead of making a smart decision, had he maybe gone to Real Madrid, back to Manchester United there? Had he maybe taken a bit of a, like, remember Rooney, when Rooney was done at Manchester United, he went back to Everton. I know it didn't work out, but he said, let me see if I could go back to my boyhood club and patch this up, help them out a little bit. He tried to make like a more meaningful move.
Yeah, and I think we see after returning to Manchester United that Ronaldo's not that type of guy. Of like,
oh, what? I didn't get that. Well, of course not, because we're not trying to talk to you, Siri.
Why is Siri doing anything? Anyway, I just muted that. He's not that type of player. He's just not a the guy that's going to be like, I'm gonna go help out my team because they could really use my leadership or direction.
The midfielders.
Right. No, yeah, that's just not who he is. So the main thing, like, I don't want to spend too much time talking about Ronaldo and his new team.
Why would we? It's just the thumbnail and the title.
But I think the more exciting news from all of this was that he was in conversations to go to an MLS team.
Well,
and this is, I think this is,
I think he was just fielding all offers.
But the fact that he even took a second call.
He clearly didn't want to go to Al Nassr.
Sure, we'll just pick.
We're picking one, and we're going to go with
Al Nassr, yeah.
He clearly didn't want to go. Nick Red said, hey, when did Cristiano Ronaldo go back? Clearly didn't want to go there because the offer had been on the table for weeks, and he had yet to accept it. So clearly he was waiting, hoping anyone else, would sort of show up.
Well, you don't need an MLS team to inflate, you know, the.
Oh, I don't think he was looking for inflate. I think he was like hoping there was another way out.
But
I do love that SKC had his discovery rights.
So Sporting Kansas City, and we saw this. Taylor Twellman reported it, and Tom Bogert. But this was in some kind of negotiation where even like Pat Mahomes got involved.
It said, Sporting Kansas City were the MLS team that came closest.
Right.
So that could simply mean like they took two steps forward.
No, yeah. But Tom also reported this, that they did have conversations and that Cristiano Ronaldo was interested and even got Pat Mahomes involved. So the Sporting Kansas City ownership group spoke to Pat Mahomes and said like, hey.
Call your boy.
Yeah. he said, let me know what I need to do. So there was he owns. Right. So I'm just saying.
He's like, "Yo, this is good for the value."
No,
right
no,
here.
So it wasn't
the
a
chat disappeared.
Yeah, that happens. I'll figure that out later. But the fact that it got that far where an NFL superstar could possibly sway the decision, I think the main thing here is that a lot of people are shocked that an MLS team was even in contention. And then, from the MLS fan side, is like, why would Sporting Kansas City even try to go after this dude?
Okay, we all know exactly why.
right. But look, I think
all you have to know is every article about Al Nassr now is about how many followers they've gained on Instagram and Twitter, comes with it, whether you like it or not. That comes with the territory of signing a name as big as Cristiano Ronaldo.
So is Sporting Kansas City? Is it fair to criticize the fact that they were even trying aggressively to get Ronaldo? Do you think it's just, there has to be a, from 1 to 10, how much do you think they deserve any criticism? Because I think this would have made a lot of fans upset.
Of course, and rightfully so. But I think if any criticism goes to them, it's minimal because it didn't happen. Maybe you hope some of the more intelligent people in the room were like, hey, yo, it feels like we shouldn't do this. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So you hope. So I think minimal criticism. You got to explore all avenues, right?
Okay.
If you're in a brainstorming session and you say, yo, there's no dumb questions. If someone says like, yo, how come I don't have toes on my dick? You'll be like, all right. Okay, first of all, I did say there's no dumb questions. So I'm going to write this on the board. But I'm going to let you know later that probably wasn't the smartest question in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If you're exploring all business opportunities, that's one of them. You would hope in the cons list, you would put Cristiano Ronaldo's name because he should be a convict. You know what I mean?
Look, Kevincha said they had multiple meetings. Yes, it is fair to criticize. The attempt is enough to criticize.
You're right. You're right to suggest that as well.
And that's a Sporting Kansas City fan saying that. So I think from a Sporting Kansas City fan perspective.
They should be they probably. Will they probably will be the most critical.
Yeah, yeah, and the loudest about it.
But I don't expect a Whitecaps fan to have a big, strong opinion on the subject.
But they, you know, the Sporting KC did have the discovery rights. Which also begs a question, why did you have Cristiano Ronaldo's discovery rights?
Right, there's a, please.
No.
Also, but, to Jamal, discovery rights.
Okay. Look, you're going to, Premier League's going to institute it soon. Don't worry about it.
Soon enough. And you remember, the joke is like Columbus Crew has the discovery rights to Messi or something like right? And I don't think anyone knew who had the discovery rights to Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, I mean,
it's very interesting.
I'm sure there's a list somewhere. If anybody has access to the list, please send it over.
We'd love to go through.
We'd love to look through it.
Who's got the Mbappe discovery?
Okay.
Did you see that Mbappe was at the Nets game, but he was sitting next to Marco?
Marco?
The owner of Lucali.
You say Marco, and I'm supposed to know who you're talking about?
100%.
Was Marco wearing Dunks?
Actually, you know what's funny? I think he was. I swear to God. He might have been wearing, like, dress shoes.
Alexis has no concept of, like, there's people listening and watching this that they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, we would talk about it.
Nice Cobra said, can the Cooligans get discovery rights for Haaland?
Bro, I think he's wearing Dunks.
Okay, Marco, what's more comfortable?
No, he's wearing Forces.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm glad we got the confirmation.
Bro, that's important.
If
you must know, Black Forces, white sole with a white swoosh.
Okay, yeah, we must know. So the fact that this got as far as it did, I mean, this could have been any MLS team, right? Heard the story.
I was a little afraid because he had almost signed to Manchester City.
Yeah,
that there would be a potential he would end up on the.
Yeah, it just it's, NYCFC. Look, and a lot of Manchester United fans felt this exact thing when he went back to Manchester United. You know, diehard Manchester United fans were like, "I don't want him back. I don't want him on the team." And you would see people just like tell him like, "Just hang it up, bro. You're done." Or try to analyze games without even really addressing his existence. You know what I mean? Like, he's already like an afterthought to the team. And these are diehard Manchester United fans that can't let go who shouldn't let go of his past as a player, as a person. So this could have been any MLS team in this situation. It just happened to be Sporting Kansas City. So you wonder if there's...
Could you just imagine Cristiano Ronaldo living in Kansas City?
it's a strange thing to think.
Well, they're like, oh, Mr. Ronaldo, this is James. He's going to be your fixer, your handler for your time here in Kansas City. And he's like, thank you very much. Which way is the beach? And then you're going to have to be like, sit down, Mr. Ronaldo.
So
I know you don't like to take no for an answer, but
there was some quote like that he said about Kansas City that this is the type of project I would be interested in. And I was like, what are you saying? I mean, with all due respect to Kansas City.
You wake him up at 2 in the morning, and that's one of the media answers you give. He's like, I'm very happy with the project. This is exciting.
It is one of those, you know, corporate speak things.
Of course.
I'm like, what are you saying? Why would
he pull that up on deck number 4, page 4 of the deck?
Manchester Andrew said, Kansas City. It's a good one.
I sent Manchester Andrew, Saudi Arabia.
So, look, I think it is a bit of a shock. If it would have happened, I think it...
Mike Thomas, but we have an old quarry filled with rainwater.
Oh, damn, bro.
You want a cabana?
I didn't know y'all get down.
Damn. Absorb those minerals. Have you been to the lake?
So, yeah, generally pretty wild. But, look, he's going to be in Saudi Arabia. I think what I hope that happens going forward is I don't want to see a Ronaldo highlight. I don't want to see I don't want to know the stats. That's it.
You're done?
You're done. You made this decision.
You gone.
You walk away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Into the sunset.
It's that continent that deals with you now.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, but realistically, he's still going to be a part of the news in some way.
Nick Red said if Ronaldo came to Kansas City, he would have been immediately sued.
Well put. Well put. I'm done. Hopefully, I think the humiliation of Messi winning the World Cup sent him to, another.
somebody tweeted out like a picture of Messi holding up the cup and a picture of Ronaldo holding up the Al Nassr shirt, mm-hmm. and they said, "What an absolutely brutal ending to this rivalry for Ronaldo fans." And it's true.
And then on,
I actually will say, like, I know I joked around a lot, but this has to be really difficult for him. You know, on the way out, he said the reason he left Europe is because he won everything he possibly could in Europe. There was nothing left to win.
Of course, not about the
World Cup. I know that's not just in Europe.
Look, whatever. It's he's getting paid something $200 million a season.
I thought it was $75 million.
No, 200. That's the number. I saw Fabrizio.
I'll go with whatever Fabrizio says.
Yeah, it's a lot.
In fact, can you pull up Fabrizio's thing? I want to know if Mudrik has been signed yet. There's a lot of rumors that he was signed.
The rumor was that he's in London.
The guy who, you're talking about the guy, the Arsenal fan who looked at, zoomed in on all the shit he was
looking
at?
Yeah.
No, the one thing he didn't look at was the damn clock. I didn't know what, he's in Berlin time, which is not obviously
got it.
London. But click on Fabrizio Romano's thing. I just want to see. Did Mudrik get signed yet? Nothing yet. All right.
Not yet.
Wait.
Arsenal
second proposal for Mudrik is close to 50 million euros fixed fee plus add-ons. Shakhtar expect to make a decision. The clubs are in direct contact. Personal terms, never an issue. All right, come on.
Oh, wait, is this guy good?
You know what's funny? I've been sitting here saying, like, yo, this dude is a little too thirsty for my, like, he puts on stories that he's watching Arsenal games.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little too thirsty to make this move. I mean, granted, you want to leave a war-torn country. I would be, too. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I'd go to Al Nassr right now to get out. But it's a little too thirsty. There's too much hype. You know what I mean? You know when there's just too much hype, but no one's really seen this dude play?
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is the Brighton coach was his former coach at Shakhtar. And he said, this kid is Ballon d'Or level.
Okay.
So, I mean, if your former coach got your back like that, then I got to believe.
Okay, so
I hate the haircut though.
It's a look.
A little home improvement.
All right. Where should we go from here? Let's talk about Arsenal. Arsenal are in first place in the Premier League. They are doing quite well.
They seem unstoppable.
They seem.
I'll talk about Arsenal from an Arsenal perspective as an Arsenal fan. You as a non-Arsenal fan, what do you see? Are we crazy? Because our fans are starting to believe.
I think this is a fair time to start believing. This is why I'll give them a lot of credit, is that Arsenal are doing a couple things. Sometimes, even if they give up a first goal, they still find a way to win. They don't look completely dejected after just giving up a goal. Just the decision making has been stellar. Saka, Odegaard.
Saka is next level.
Saka's
Martin Odegaard looks like Ozil on coffee.
Okay. Yeah, that's what there was on Arsenal Fan TV. Didn't somebody say when they were talking about Odegaard that before he got there, they described him as he's Ozil, but he works hard. Which I guess I would agree.
I could see that.
Ozil is just, you know. In his last few years at Arsenal, he wasn't putting in a shift he was in the past.
But we all remember World Cup Ozil and Euros Ozil. So that, and obviously Real Madrid, he played incredibly well there.
Yeah.
So there's like, we at least have the image of him succeeding at a very high level before he just got super lazy. And, you know, Wenger, people talked about how Wenger just allowed him to be that. Wenger allowed him to show up to training whenever he wanted. And they were like, he's like, what are we going to teach him in training?
Right.
You see what he does? Like, if that's the kind of person he needs to be in order to be successful, we'll do that until it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And then he left before it became a problem.
Yeah, and the fact that Martin Odegaard is already the team captain in such a short time for being at Arsenal.
He's a captain of Denmark.
Yeah. It says he's Norway.
Norway. Jesus Christ. I was thinking of Erling Haaland.
Yeah. I mean, Alexis knows the Arsenal players up and down. You guys.
Dude, are you kidding me?
You know,
Matt Turner, great Norwegian player.
But there is a confidence and leadership that, and I think getting rid of players like Ozil, getting rid of players like Aubameyang.
You had to get rid of the dead weight.
And when you say dead weight, it's a little vague.
How's that vague? What have those players done since leaving?
No. Yes, their performances have not been the best, but every single Arsenal player is not. You know, Gabriel Jesus is not racking up a whole bunch of goals, but he's still a great player. And you would still start him over Nketiah, right? Because there is a...
Actually, give me a little bit on that, because Nketiah is scoring more goals at a faster rate currently. It's been two games.
Yeah.
Than Jesus has. That said, Jesus wasn't just asked to be a straight-up striker. He was asked to be a part of that forward group that is, you know, constantly moving, drawing attention away. Yeah. And he did that at a level that you could... And Nketiah is not doing that. And Nketiah is finding the back of the net.
And I would... Look, the goal, Martinelli's goal...
out of this world.
I forgot who they played. Who was it?
Which one?
The long pass from Odegaard. Martinelli ran...
The last one, Brighton.
Brighton, okay, yeah. Which also, Martinelli... Why aren't you passing that ball for a tap-in for Saka, which is remarkable that he did. I can't believe he made that decision, but it worked out.
I will say, had it not worked out, we'd all be like, Saka was open.
Even the fact that he did score, it was also upsetting to me. I'm like, it is such a ridiculous decision to not pass that ball, and much, much riskier.
I think if you see something, his instinct...
I mean, he's a great player. I'm not saying anything, but...
He's a winger / forward that has a striker's mentality, so I don't mind. I will say, if that was Eddie Nketiah and not Saka running, you got to give him the ball, because he needs to continue to build his confidence if he's going to be a proper striker. Yeah. Martinelli, we already know what we got. Martinelli? Yeah,
he nutmegged the keeper. For the goal. You got to do it.
Camilo Garcia said, shoot or shoot, bro. Shooters do shoot, bro.
But to me, that was the one that seemed un-Arsenal-esque. Like, I would imagine Arteta after the game being like, yo, I'm glad you score, but that's not what we do here.
9 times out of 10, you don't score there. Granted, you shot the 10 out of 10, so fine.
Right.
Moving forward.
But
I actually think if Eddie Nketiah keeps this up, it may not be as quick a return for Jesus as people are expecting.
I can see that. Yeah.
It may cause a little bit of problems.
How many weeks is it? 2 months or something like that?
It's supposed to be 3 months.
3 months,
but everyone's saying mid-February.
Okay. Look, if Arsenal keep playing
the way... And look, he won't be starting right away either.
Yeah, but that goal from Martinelli, Nketiah is in the box, inside their own half. So he's the striker who is coming up to receive the ball, and he draws the center back out who can't back up.
Even if you
fullback.
Draw him out 2 steps, that's enough for Martinelli to burn you.
Sure.
Because the center back is a big lumbering dude.
But if you look at that play, Nketiah is in, he's in basically, I think he's past the center circle.
He's in his own half.
Yeah, and Odegaard, who delivers one of the greatest passes you'll ever see.
The weight of it is, it looks like it has a magnet to where Martinelli's going to run.
It was incredible. So it's just the... That's the kind of thing where you see, when you have players that not only make great decisions, but like clearly believe in each other outside of Martinelli with Saka, but they believe in each other, and their manager is instilling this confidence in all of them, where it doesn't matter who's in the game, you know, trust your teammate to make the right decision. Everybody's just like they're just on point, and
they're playing at an extremely.
You're not seeing it from the teams that you're usually used to seeing it from the last couple of years, Liverpool and Manchester City.
Dude, everyone else is dropping points around us. Look at the form. City with a draw, Newcastle with a draw. We're recording this and we're streaming live before the Arsenal versus Newcastle game, which starts in about 40 minutes, and we will be watching, not live. I will be sitting on one of these couches, staring at the screen, yelling. But everyone around us is dropping points. Tottenham loses. Obviously, Manchester United won, but I don't think we'd all sit here and say this is the most solidified team. It still feels like they have a lot of questions.
They
look better than they used to.
Than with Ronaldo, without a doubt.
Oh, my God.
Just having that.
By the way, people told us in the chat, we were not, obviously, the guys that are here, people told us we were crazy. The comments on our YouTube are, you're absolutely insane. They can't possibly be better without Ronaldo. No.
They're
Marcus Rashford.
It's not even, It's nice to have a player of Ronaldo's ability, sure. But when you deal
ability? Scoring goals. That's all he is now.
But when you deal with the baggage that
he
comes
with.
He
is a black hole of attention. He is a black hole on the pitch. We said it before that if you're Bruno Fernandes, you can't even do what you do because you're constantly trying to force the ball into Cristiano Ronaldo so you can, you know, satiate his extreme desire for attention and scoring goals.
Mm.
That's it. What skills does he have left?
Okay, that's it. None.
That's it. One thing. He can score goals. All right, you a bucket. What else are you? Are you a good teammate? No. Are you good in the dressing room? No. Do other players want to be around you, call you, and text you? No. Do your own national team players want to shake your hand? The answer is no. All you got is Piers Morgan.
Okay.
Now, how'd that work out?
The homie, Piers.
How'd that work out, Piers? Just another example of how you ruin the end of your own star-like career. What are you going to do, build yourself another statue on your island?
I think Ronaldo needs to interview Andrew Tate next, you know?
Bro, they should fight each other with knives duct taped to their hands. It's the only way I would enjoy that.
So, you know, also, Piers Morgan, a big Arsenal fan. A big, big Arsenal fan.
I am more embarrassed that he's an Arsenal fan than Osama bin Laden.
So... the example of like not being a good teammate and how that affected Manchester United is like the inverse is Arsenal. Arsenal, they just look like such a good team, and we saw NBC Sports were out during the holidays.
They got to talk to everybody.
They got to talk to everybody. Matt
I was
Turner,
so jealous,
Saka,
bro.
Also, January 21st and 22nd, catch us in.
Yeah, I think some people were confused by the tweet, the post you put up. We are going to be there. We're not just promoting this event.
We are
the hosts.
We are there. We're the MCs. You'll see us there, just like you saw us in Philly. But the interviews with like Bukayo Saka there is a lightness to their
they're winning.
Winning, but
it feels good.
But it's sort of beyond that. Even the constant questions of like, do you think they can do it? Can they actually, can they actually maintain in first? And this is when all the questions really, really begin. And it happens to every team that's in first. But Arsenal, I think they're handling it professionally. I saw Ian Wright say this as well. They're saying. One game at a time. They're not getting ahead of themselves. But for a team like Arsenal that's not really used to being in this position the last decade, I think they're handling it pretty well. And you see it in their play on the pitch. They're not making bad decisions. They're not, even though they give up a couple goals here and there, they're not like terribly nervous. I think coming back from the World Cup, Arsenal probably looked the worst they've had. Because of the rust of just like not playing for a couple weeks.
Also, the first time they played without Gabriel Jesus.
Sure, yeah, and so the mistakes from Saliba, I thought were
Saliba's had two iffy games.
Yeah, I would imagine that
they're not bad games, but there's moments where I'm like, hey,
yeah, I think chill. It's just getting back.
He didn't play at all in the World Cup, so
Right.
It's going to take some time.
I saw Mikel Arteta did mention.
Russ Dagari said, I wish Piers was part of the Al Nassr deal. He's like, what do you mean I got to move, dude?
Mikel Arteta did mention that a lot of the Arsenal players did go back to the team early before they were required to. So stuff like that. It's just like the morale seems good for Arsenal. And they would still have to be your favorites. Manchester City did drop points against my Everton football club.
No, your Everton football club assisted Arsenal. Damari Gray did to them what he did to us, and I was there.
Same goal.
Same exact goal.
Same goal.
I had to watch that goal. In awe and shock and horror from the away section at Goodison. And then this man turns around and does it to Manchester City when we need Manchester City to drop the points. I was like, you know what, Damari? You did good.
Yeah. Well, when you watch Manchester City play the last couple weeks, they are playing with a little bit of the discomfort and nervousness that you saw Arsenal play with last year.
Well, the problem is, and I think this is a part of it as well, because Saliba is a massive difference. I said at the beginning of the season that he would be the best center back in the league by the time Virgil van Dijk is done, which just goes to show how much I really believed that he was the answer for the style of center back we need. And I think he's proven he absolutely can, that he can be that. Is he going to have moments where he doesn't play at the top of his game? Sure, and that's going to happen. He's young. He's 21 years old. Mm-hmm. We finally extended his contract. But I think you're starting to see that where last year we had a defensive back line that wasn't exactly working as a well-oiled unit. And that's what you're seeing with Manchester City. They are susceptible at the back in a way that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Right.
And that's the thing about Manchester City. It's like they have the means to fix whatever issues they have. So how long will this last? You would assume, outside of maybe some financial fair play issues, you would assume they're going to be able to make some signings in January. They're going to be like, yeah, we ain't going to let this. We ain't going to sell two of our players to Arsenal and have them beat us.
Sure.
So we're going to fix this up. You know what I mean?
And yeah, they didn't. You would think even with the players that they lost that they wouldn't have much of a problem. And with the start that Erling Haaland had, that, you know, how many goals does Erling have now? I think it's
more than Everton.
is it 20? I don't even know. I think he's
at 21.
I wouldn't say that they're relying on Erling Haaland too much, but it is.
He has 21 goals.
21 goals. All competitions or just Premier League?
I think it's just Premier League.
Yeah. It's just.
He has 27.
Oof. Yeah. So that's very, very good.
One in the EFL Cup and five in Champions League.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look, does it change the way Manchester City play? Of course it does. You would think it would change it for the better, but the losing, I think, players like Raheem Sterling, they got Calvin Phillips. Who else did they lose?
They lose Gabriel Jesus.
Gabriel Jesus.
They lost Zinchenko, who wasn't starting.
Fernandinho.
Mm-hmm.
Rodri is kind of the replacement for Fernandinho, right?
I wouldn't say they're a like-kind exchange.
No, but similar position.
Yeah.
Defensive midfielder. And he is the one that makes the mistake that leads to Demarai Gray's goal. So they're just not to the same caliber that they were that they've been the last couple of years.
Do you think Pep is losing that ability to sort of, I don't want to say like losing the locker room, but to some degree that's what I'm asking. Do you think the Pep magic is worn down with this group of players?
I think that happens with any group of players after a certain amount of time.
That's what I'm asking. Do you think we're at that point now? I agree with you. At some point, even Sir Alex Ferguson, they're like, we get it. You're Scottish. You know what I mean? Like, at some point.
That was the biggest complaint. They're like, yo, enough with the Scott. I mean, I get
Bruh,
it.
Pronounce a consonant once in your life. Well, yeah. At some point, your mystique wears. Your ability to inspire wears away. They've heard the stories. They've heard everything.
I don't think we're there yet, but it is. Look, like, of course, if the standard is you're in first place all the time and now you're in second, I'm not going to say there's been some, you know, stark drop off.
No, but we've never seen a Manchester City team like this not be able to click. And that's what we're seeing.
Sure. I mean, if it's a Champions League final, we know they can't click, right?
No, they never click.
I think the priority, and I could be wrong, I think the priority is to win the Champions League.
I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. I completely agree with you. And by the way, it should be. It should be. Y'all right. done won the league too many times. We get it.
Yeah. I think that's where they're going to put a lot of the focus. Look, you don't want to draw against Everton. I mean, that's a terrible 2 points dropped for Manchester City and an amazing point for Everton.
Can I say this? Congratulations and thank you. We needed it and you needed it, my friend.
Happy to help. It was it's almost like it's a symbiotic relationship.
Where would we be without you, bro? Zambi. Is that with a Z?
I think the bigger surprise here overall especially with top four is Newcastle being in top four. They drew
So to the Arsenal conversation, because you brought up Newcastle, people someone says, once we play one of the City games and we win, can we celebrate? Bro, we got to play Manchester City twice and Newcastle twice in this half of the season.
Nice.
I am more worried now about Newcastle because they just don't go away easy.
Right.
This last match was a bit of an anomaly. But what out of those, the Arsenal team that you see, We've got two games against Newcastle. Again, one is right after this. So if you're listening to this, you've already seen it. But we got two games against Newcastle, two games against Manchester City. A potential of, what's that? That's 12 points, right?
Yeah.
How many points do you think Arsenal takes from those four games? All things being equal to today.
How many points? I mean, I'm going to say I think they beat Newcastle twice. I think they're much better than Newcastle. And I think they...
That means we beat them at home and at St. James.
Yeah, I think so. And that, I think Arsenal are that good. And I think they lose one against City and win one against City.
Which one we win?
Home. Ooh. Win at home.
So you think we take 9 points?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. Arsenal good. I mean, I think they are look, unless, barring any kind of injury or something like that, but I think Arsenal are a better team, top to bottom, than Manchester City. Easy. And then at Newcastle, they've had a good run, and they're playing very well, but I don't think they're close to Arsenal right now.
If you had to guess right now who wins the league, what would you say?
I think Arsenal hold on.
I'm not even going to say none. I'm just going to let that sit.
I think they can do it.
I think you're crazy is, one, I'm an Arsenal fan, so it's hard for me to be like, yes, yes, yes. Like, I'm one of those people that, like, I don't celebrate anything until the check's in the bank. Did it clear? Like, can I spend some of it? All right, then, woo, we did it. Like, it's hard for me to really accept that we're that good because I've seen us collapse. But I remember sitting in our old Fubo TV studios before COVID. Troops was on the couch, and we were talking about Arteta, and I said, yo, this is the guy. I'm telling you, this is the guy. He's going to lead us to the promised land. I'm telling you, he's going to be our manager for the 20 years. And he's like, no, you're wrong, blood. He's going to be sacked in the first year. This is the wrong choice. Blah, 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 blah. He's never managed before. And I'm like, I don't know how to explain it to you, but trust me when I tell you, I believe in this man. Like, if everyone said this is the guy, we should believe he's the guy. And to see it happening is incredible. So, but it's still, I still remember, you know, what's his name? Welbeck scoring that goal against, you know, Leicester. Off the tape up, off the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And still not being able to win. Still not being able to do enough to win the league and letting Leicester City win the league. It was that I still remember those moments, so it's hard for me to say. And also, I don't think you're giving Newcastle enough credit. Eddie Howe has completely changed his team. Miguel Almirón.
I mean, yeah, Eddie Howe is lovely, but also the huge injection of cash has changed the team.
What injection of cash? No, let's be honest. What have they bought? Trippier, whatever his name is, injured for a lot. Bruno Guimarães, however you want to pronounce it, absolutely incredible find. Chris Wood?
No, they've been who else? They have a couple decent. Miguel Almirón scoring like 7 games in a row.
Came before.
I'm just saying.
Eddie Howe. That's Eddie Howe. He came before that. He was
Mike
Ashley.
Steve Bruce was there when.
Mike Ashley, the owners.
Right.
Purchased him. Yeah, that's me. Eddie Howe changed him. And change the system that allows him to play. Chris Wood, Isak, however you want to pronounce his name.
Who's injured
as well. What they haven't spent a lot of money. He took roughly the same team Steve Bruce had, made them good, added a few pieces, and now they're great. They have not spent a lot of money. They will start spending money.
Great is a stretch, but yes, they are good. They are good.
No.
Okay.
Cesar Garcia said, of course, first season of Cooligans was hilarious with Alexis rants week after week.
But like the first year?
Yeah. I mean, that was rough. Rough times, man.
Okay.
And Mike Thomas said Newcastle 1 year off from being a force. I don't think you're giving Newcastle enough credit, and I don't think you give Eddie Howe enough credit.
You asked me if Arsenal will beat Newcastle. I think they will beat them fairly easily.
I think we beat them once. Maybe we draw them at St. James. So Miguel Almirón, how many goals does this man have? This guy is absolutely killing it. Nine goals. All in the Premier League.
Jack Grealish, his favorite player.
Bro, Jack Grealish is like, I don't know what I did to this man. He stole my juju.
Yo, Jack Grealish needs to say something negative about us, all right?
Yo, no, he needs to say something negative about our bank account, bro.
We're trying to succeed out here.
Get in here, bro. How many goals does he end the season with?
I mean, on 15.
You think he gets to 15? You think he gets another 6?
Yeah.
I could see it. I think he scored like one in the last 7 matches.
Yeah, he's
besides
been
the last one.
He's been just seeing the when he first got to Newcastle to now,
that you can, you know, sometimes you, I have this kind of, I don't know if it's bias or whatever, but you just think like, you're a professional soccer player. You get it. Why? How much different is it from country to country? Like,
what, it rains a little more here? What's the difference?
There's a little what? There's fog? Yeah. What? You can't see the thing?
No guns here like in America? There's really
what
no
is really the difference? But there is, you know, we know Miguel Almirón is a great player. We know he's fast enough for the league. The league is not too fast for him. But I think what the difference you're seeing from then to now is there's a little bit that he's playing with more confidence, but you can see that the defenders who are defending against him also see that he is playing with confidence. You know what I mean? There's a certain thing
they're
that happens.
Giving him a little bit of extra
they
space.
Give him an extra space because you're like, all right, I've seen a couple clips. I saw what Jack said about you.
Yeah, he seems to not be confused like he used to be.
Right, right. And he was making a lot of mistakes early on when he first got there. And just clumsy. Just didn't adjust. And that is just like not it now. He's just like, I'm a veteran of this Premier League.
He's 28.
He's 28.
He's like, bruh.
Been here, done.
I know I look like I'm 7. He's got what you got.
Right.
Whatever weird
disease
you have.
We got the same, you know, Gary Coleman disease. Yeah,
100%. Benjamin Button over here. Both of y'all smile a lot, y'all skinny, and you look 16. But he's a grown-ass man now.
And he's adjusting quite well. And just like, and this, he's where he needs to be. He's making, great passes. And he's also playing like in a different position. That wasn't what he was
he
playing when
he was
at Atlanta United. So it's great to see. But you can clearly see that the maturity. That's probably the biggest difference from then and now. He's just been Kirby D called him the babyface assassin.
Yeah, that's you, bro.
Let's go,
Pele babyface, bro. Do you know his full name?
Miguel Almirón.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
There's a very famous name. There's a very obvious name that comes after Miguel almost always in Spanish.
Ángel?
Yeah. All right. So it's Miguel Ángel Almirón. You won't know his last name. Rejala.
Say it again.
Rejala.
Rejala.
R-E-J-A-L-A.
Rejala.
Yeah. Miguel Ángel Almirón Rejala. That is so Latin.
I mean, he sounds like a Spanish prince.
Right? Ladies and gentlemen. my accounting? Yeah, I do with the offices of Miguel Ángel Almirón Rejala.
So I think where we should wrap up, because the game's about to kick off in a couple minutes, is any concern about Liverpool? Liverpool have been...
Yo, someone put in the chat that Klopp is also dusty, bro.
Klopp is looking a little bit dusty.
What's going on?
They lost to who did they lose to? I can't remember the games I just saw yesterday.
You're pulling in Alexis.
Who they lose to? Villa.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Liverpool were almost saved by VAR repeatedly, but it was not enough because if VAR didn't get involved, they would have been down like 4 or 5 goals.
Hey, as an Arsenal fan, I absolutely love VAR. I don't want no disrespect to VAR this week until this game starts.
It was they were the right calls, but I think I don't know if it's simply the injuries that Liverpool have had. I think maybe not having Luis Diaz. They did sign Cody Gakpo, right? Which that was also a big thing.
You got a lot to do, Cody.
That was also a big issue, right? Because Manchester United apparently was a lock. And Virgil van Dijk, I guess, called his homie, his Dutch homie, and
he
said, like,
Sir Alex Ferguson.
And he's like, yo, you don't want to beat it with them dusty fools out there. Nah, man, we got a dusty coach out here that would need some help.
Bro, that shit weak. Last week. Damn. Bro.
Wow, Virgil. I didn't realize you were this clever.
Yo, Virgil. Damn, bro. Were you on Biggie's second album, by any chance?
My man, clever Van Dyke, right? Let's go. I think that the interesting thing in that game was that every time they gave up a goal, whether it got turned back or not.
Oh, it was Brentford.
Mm-hmm. Villa played who?
Without Tony, by the way.
That's right. Villa won. Who'd they play? I forgot who they play.
City. Wasn't it City? They drew to City.
There are too many games. No, they didn't. Villa win. Villa won against somebody.
I hope it's Tottenham.
I should just look it up. I think it was Tottenham.
It was.
Yes.
To the nil.
Sorry, apologies.
Thank you, Villa.
Thank you for the correction. We should
talk more about Villa.
Ben just going and said Pele Van Dijk. Let's go.
That man, he will live forever on this show. Let's go.
Bro.
So they did lose to Brentford. But the
Virgil van Dusty salute Sergio. Damn.
Getting cooked. Yo,
go back to your windmill, my G. We don't need you out here.
The
Virgil band bike salute Sergio.
See, we were missing this throughout the walk.
Yeah, yeah. Where was it? Where was the chat?
I thought the interesting thing was every time Brentford scored, they would go to the camera would go to Jurgen Klopp, and Jurgen Klopp would just be smiling like this frustrated smile. They're like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Y'all going to do me like this?
Is this happening?
I don't even recognize my team anymore. Right.
Who coaches this? Me?
I don't know if it's a thing where, look, the Brentford scored a lot, even though two of them got taken back by VAR. But Liverpool were giving up goals on set pieces. I mean, I get Virgil van Dusty is kind of accurate because you couldn't get anything physically past these dudes. I mean, they were just too much bigger and stronger. Him and Joe Matip, they were just generally, they're just like can get to every 50-50, you know, like any aerial ball. That's just really not that much of a concern. But Virgil van Dijk, to me, is looking a little bit, looking like he's suffering from, you know, Ozil's thing of just the effort. I don't know. It doesn't seem like when he first got there. That's all.
Who's the midfielder they lost this season? That's not there.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool. Who'd they lose?
Who was the guy, the defensive midfielder that they had last season? They don't have.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember the dude's name. But once he left, it was like that whole right-hand side isn't, you know, working well. Henderson also isn't there to cover, or hasn't been there at the level to cover for Trent Alexander-Arnold. It's like that whole, if Virgil van Dijk is a great center back, still is a great center back, can't do it on his own. By the way, Gavincho said, every Dutch player is Bobo from now on, and I'm a Liverpool fan. It's hard to be alone, you know what I mean? We always talk about how center backs are partnerships. You also need the players in front of you to cut off most potential attacks.
Right.
You need everything working as a unit. And Jurgen Klopp, I get that you have this, you know, heavy metal football and gegenpressing, but you need the pieces to do that.
I agree, but in this game in particular, that wasn't really the case. Liverpool had more possession. They had the ball most of the time. It's just on set pieces, that's where their confusion seemed to be.
But that's what I mean. Like, you need to have people that are there. It's a full 90 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Set pieces are part of it.
They just seem to switch off at just the wrong times, and they did it about five times.
Yeah. Pretty consistently.
I'm going to chalk it up to this was just a bad game, but Liverpool have had a disappointing season, to say the least. I know, I don't think they're going to do that much more than Cody Gakpo in the transfer window.
Jude Bellingham next year.
Yeah, maybe.
That seems like it's a done deal.
I'm saying, but for this season, I don't think I think they're going to go with what they got, and maybe.
Here's the big fear. They don't get into Champions League.
Right.
That's the big fear, because then Jude Bellingham's going to be like, do I want to go?
I mean, Newcastle, Tottenham.
Luke Sergio said Liverpool broke bad on set pieces.
For real.
I do want to talk about Conte saying, he goes, yeah, people were talking about Tottenham being, you know, title contenders. He's like, what? That made me laugh. He's like, that's funny. No. He's like, we're fifth at best.
Yes. He.
Are you cool with a manager talking this openly and honestly?
Am I cool with it? I mean, I don't know. I think the context is important. If you're a Tottenham manager.
That's the context.
The context.
Very nice.
If you are the manager of Tottenham, you gotta be delusional on camera. You gotta be like, this club is a top greatest club, and we got to work hard,
but
and blah, blah, blah.
He even said you can strive to be a champion when you're a team that's won things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
It's not. Look, he's having the.
You got no trophy case as your own manager, bro.
He has to. You know, he's a representative of the club, so he should. But
he's, yeah, that's what I mean. He's kind of.
But he's speaking like a freelancer.
Yeah, 100%. He's speaking like his consulting contract. Yeah, this is his exit interview. Okay. He did the best he could.
Okay. Do I have a Spurs tattoo on me? Don't talk to me like this.
Bro,
you know?
W-2. You ain't 1099. You need to have some. You got to buy in.
Look, being that frank about it is probably not beneficial or helpful in any way, and it doesn't stir up any encouragement and excitement with the fan base. I'm watching clips of
it. Or are they used to it?
Well, I'm watching clips of like expressions and
dying slowly,
losing it.
His stream broke. That's how rough his life is going.
And angry Tottenham fans are. It's not as fun as angry Arsenal fans.
I disagree. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Look, as a neutral of both, I'm like, it's not as entertaining because there is no history of success, and it's just. It's just constant losing and constant disappointments. And you're just like, oh, man, I feel bad. I mean, like, I don't want to be that man.
I don't. Shouts to all the time.
There's a certain joy in seeing Arsenal fans upset because it comes from almost a place of entitlement. So it's like I feel okay being
it's like
it's entertaining to me.
Roasting someone and you're like, dude, have they not had enough? Just let them walk, right?
But no, they and I think this happens to Tottenham every year. Where they go into every year with like Richarlison's here, we got this new excitement. There's like somebody's gonna break the Babe Ruth curse. You know what
right,
I mean?
Somebody. Yeah. Hopefully not in my lifetime.
It's not Richarlison.
Rustigari said Conte doing the Mourinho third season arc all in a season. Bro, you are 100% right. Except wait, didn't Mourinho win already after that third season?
Was
that
you play to win the game. Like, bro, great. It's just a classic.
Conte, man, he's just like, who said champion? That's not what I'm going. For.
Be realistic,
yeah,
okay,
bro. Chill, yo.
He doesn't even instill hope in his team, and you can't do that. That's where I say, like, all right, that's not the proper way to handle the media.
I kind of like it. It's right now with Arsenal winning and that happening, it makes me feel
if
good.
If it's the Arsenal manager doing that, you're not saying that.
I mean, Unai Emery essentially did that. Shout out to Unai Emery though for beating Tottenham as a Villa manager. Harry Kane has how many goals this season?
And I scored Bruce. Spurs are who we thought they were. that's every week.
That's every week. He has. This can't be right.
Who?
Harry Kane has 23 goals in all competitions. Does that sound right? 13 goals for Tottenham, 1 assist. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's fair. They've also been playing in Champions League.
Well, 1 goal in Champions League, 8 in Europa. Is that right?
No.
They take
that
last
this year?
That's what it
last
says.
Last year they were in Europa. This year they're in Champions, right? Not crazy? Yeah, because that's why Richarlison went there to begin with.
Well, he's got 13 goals in the Premier League.
He had a stinker.
He had 8 goals in Europa. He must have scored a couple of hat tricks in some of the games in Europa.
Is this 2022? Not
this is 2023.
I don't know why would Europa stats be in what you're looking at. Maybe for the all goals in 2022.
I don't know. To be honest with you.
Okay.
Let's just go with 2022-2023 Premier League. By the way, this is 2022-2023 Europa. No, 2020-2021.
Somebody,
why would I even look that up?
Andrew Johnson just said, yo, go look at the Greg Berhalter statement. Okay. Let's
see what the Greg Berhalter this is saying. Live.
We're live. Let's
what could he have possibly said?
Well,
while we're at it, Harry Kane has to leave, I think, in order for any chance to win. USMT issues a statement.
Okay. This is just a minute ago.
While we obviously would have...
All right, hold on. Let me put it on the
While screen. We obviously would have wanted to advance further in the World Cup, I'm very proud and grateful of our player staff and everyone at US Soccer and all the USNT fans, US National Team fans, worldwide to support us. Our performance relied on hard work and extraordinary energy, commitment to those on and off the pitch during years of preparation. There are so many positive examples of how the squad came. Oh, no. Is this about Gio Reyna? The squad came together making so many different types of sacrifices in all pursuit of our group's shared vision. I'm looking forward to continuing my conversations with U.S. Soccer about the future, but now is the time for me to publicly share some personal information on which a third party has used against my family and me. During the World Cup, an individual contacted U.S. Soccer saying that they had information about me that would, quote, take me down. In apparent effort to leverage something very personal from long ago to bring about the end of my relationship with U.S. Soccer, this is a difficult step to take, but my wife, Rosalind, and I want to clearly and directly share the truth. This is a story that belongs to us, and but hopefully there are lessons from our relationship that can be valued to others. What could this possibly
what could
be?
This be? This is insane.
You want to read the next part?
I'll read the next part. In the fall of 1991, I met my soulmate. I had just turned 18 and was a freshman in college when I met Rosalind for the first time. There was a familiar feeling when we spoke. Rosalind was and is an amazing person, determined, empathetic, fun to be around, and we connected immediately. It felt like we had known each other for years. We had been dating for 4 months when an incident happened between us that would shape the future of our relationship. One night, while out drinking at a local bar, Rosalind and I had a heated argument that continued outside. It became physical, and I kicked her in the legs.
You're a soccer player. That's like a boxer punching someone.
Right. So I'm very serious. There are zero excuses for my actions that night. It was a shameful moment and one that I regret to this day. At that time, I immediately apologized to Rosalind, but understandably, she wanted nothing to do with me. I told my parents, family, and friends what happened because I wanted to take full responsibility for my behavior. Rosalind also informed her parents, family, and friends. While the authorities were never involved in this matter, I voluntarily sought out counseling to help learn, grow, and improve. One of the most valuable decisions that I ever made. To this day, that type of behavior has never been repeated.
I fear that I lost my soulmate. And then out of the blue, 7 months later, I received a call from Rosalind asking if we could speak in person. We met and discussed how we had grown and decided to rebuild our relationship. Rosalind shared that her family supported this decision, and by working through what had happened, we both realized that our love, trust, and respect for each other was the strongest was stronger than the incident and occurred that had occurred months earlier. Since then, Rosalind and I have lived together in 5 different countries, 3 different states, have met and remain friends with many wonderful people from around the world. All of these people have witnessed the strong relationship we have and the loving family that we have built together. The lessons learned from that night over 3 decades ago became the foundation for a loving, devoted, and supportive relationship, which we honored and celebrated with our 25th wedding anniversary this past weekend.
I'm sharing this story after 31 years because it's important to understand it was an event that shaped me but doesn't define me. It was a single isolated event over 3 decades ago and a terrible decision made in a bad moment by an 18-year-old. Rosalind and I have been on an amazing journey together. We have raised 4 wonderful children who are aware of what happened. We are very proud of our marriage, our relationship, the family we have built, and the people we have become. As a team, we emphasize accountability, honesty, and growth. Those aren't just principles we instill within the team. It is how I live my life. The foundation of any good team is using the past as an opportunity to learn and get better. People can make mistakes and learn from them. People can also be forgiven for their mistakes. Thankfully, Rosalind forgave me. The intention of this statement is to provide transparency and to reinforce that a single bad decision made by a teenager does not necessarily define him for the rest of his life. We will not hide from this. We didn't then, and we won't now. This is our story. We have fully cooperated with the U.S. Soccer investigation into this matter, and while we would prefer not to speak about something so personal from so long ago in such a public forum, we're embracing this opportunity to share what has shaped us and how much we have grown and learned from this over the past 31 years. Thank you, Rosalind and Greg Berhalter.
Wow.
Wow, I did not expect that to be the statement.
Not at all. Apparently, someone, he had to create this account just to share this. Andrew Johnson said he made all new social media accounts to release as he quit Twitter and Instagram during STC. Wow. What is STC?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, I think obviously this is obviously a very sad story and obviously unfortunate. I think the
unfortunate is a great term. It's a great word for it.
The term, but the thing about it being used against him to ruin his relationship with U.S. Soccer.
So someone's trying to blackmail him.
Right. Which is obviously very shitty. And to take a personal, moment in this person's life and use it against him. This person has nothing to do with Greg's marriage or family.
Unless it was Rosalind who reached out to him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's exactly. The only person who. Hey, here's what I'll say. Never hit a woman. Under any circumstances, don't hit a woman.
Tell us it's Dana White, bro.
Huh?
See Dana White?
Of course I saw that.
Just another.
Also, the guy's a shaved gorilla.
Right.
A woman. So obviously you don't hit women. But what I will say is that was a long time ago. Not that that's an excuse, but they've.
It sounds like they've worked through and gone through whatever challenges that, you know.
So what I'll say, if Rosalind is at the point where she trusts him, our opinion should matter.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there's a lot that goes with this. Obviously, women that are in abusive relationships and can't get out. There's a lot more to this. This specific situation seems like it's been resolved.
Yeah.
And why are we, I mean, to bring this up to try to blackmail somebody, I don't understand why you would want to take down.
Yeah, it's very shitty. And I think I guess for it to happen during the World Cup, which is obviously a very tense time for every country that is involved in the World Cup.
Damn, bro.
It's a little bit of, and I don't want to minimize this, but I think we had a conversation about this, about how like the U.S. missing.
Now I understand why the man who runs says turns to Eric Winalda. Remember?
I think the drama from this is like the seediness, the awful, the blackmail, like, you know what I mean? Even though it's horrible and you don't want things like this to happen, but weirdly enough, this is like in a lot of other countries where soccer is the predominant sport, this is par for the course. Dig up dirt on people.
I mean, it's like politics. It's
right.
Big. You know, when someone's running against you, you're supposed to look up dirt on yourself to know what might be coming at you. So you hire people to just, go dig through my past. Let me know what might be coming up. And then you dig up the other person's past so you can start to manufacture.
Oppo research.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem here, who benefits by taking down Greg Berhalter?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the golden goose that you're after?
Only one person, Gareth Southgate. That's the only person.
I mean, that's where my mind goes. I'm like, who is trying to blackmail Greg Berhalter?
Sunil Gulati trying to run it back? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
That's the confusing part. I mean, is it somebody that wanted to ruin how the U.S. did during the World Cup or something along those lines? I mean, it's awful. So, I'm trying to, like, understand the motive at the very least.
The chat seems to think it might have been someone from the Berhalter out fan base, unless they're joking. Jurgen Klinsmann. I mean, that ship has sailed. To be honest with you, I mean, it's either horrific, and I think if someone says, or kick Alexis, because I said you don't hit a woman with any body part or any object. I just thought, especially in a relationship, you don't do that. And I think that goes without saying. I would hope so. Obviously, like Dana White, unfortunately, we're not at that point yet as a society, which is disgusting.
Right. And then I know some people are going to be like, well, she hit him first. Whatever. Like,
it doesn't matter.
I know that she did, but it does not matter.
It does not matter. I could care less. It doesn't matter. In this situation, what a horrific thing to bring up from that's essentially buried in 30 years of this relationship's past.
Right.
I will say, if Rosalind comes out and says, no, he's been abusive since, then we have a different conversation.
A different thing.
But if this is, if we're going to take it for what this is, one, yeah, dude, not good. I'm going to let Rosalind and her family and her friend group and all that and her, you know, support group handle that. And if they did that 30 years ago, then, dude, I feel bad that he even had to do this.
Right. Yeah. So, this is, like, absurd. Somebody said it crossed the line to do something like this. I mean, not to make the statement, but obviously to try to blackmail a person or, you know.
Dude, I love that our chat doesn't take anything seriously. We have, was it Claudia Reyna? ? And Crimson Pizza said, Shyamalan twist, it was Dave Sarakin.
Wow. Just absurd. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, look, the more than anything, you know, it's difficult to make a statement like this, but you got to think about the Berhalter family, is children, is everybody's just like,
and you got to clear the air.
You got,
Well, I mean, you have to clear the air, but because somebody's trying to blackmail you. But this is not. This seems to be something that was resolved within the family, and for it to make it's like it, the purpose of it is to embarrass everybody, to embarrass everyone, right. and it does. Even though they try to embarrass maybe Greg Berhalter directly, it does affect his family.
So yeah, it affects everyone else.
That's involved. The part that is.
I didn't even know what Greg Berhalter's wife's name was.
Yeah.
Until right this moment. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, this sucks. I mean, I don't know if this is going to affect the possibility of him returning as a manager for the U.S. Men's National Team.
There's some decisions to be made there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously an interesting thing. Thank you for sharing, Andrew, for this.
Yeah, because we would have been like, oh, why didn't we know this during the stream?
Right. So appreciate it. All right. We should wrap up because we got there's a couple of Premier League games that are going on right now. And a reminder, thank you, everybody. Everybody who tuned in during the World Cup, if this was the first time you tuned in to the Cooligans, we appreciate you. We will be back next week. So our shows are usually, we record them Mondays and Tuesdays live on YouTube, and they're available as podcasts on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, and we cover European soccer, European football one day, and then American soccer and, on the other day. So that's the for the new folks, that's the way to do it. And then we have No Cap Recap, which is our podcast exclusively on Patreon, where we talk about the behind the scenes, some of the stuff. Sometimes we travel, everything that goes on, not in this room. That's where you can get all that entertainment. So, boom, we did it again. It's nice to be back. Happy New Year, everybody. Big things in 2023. And a reminder, if you're in Orlando or in Florida, come out to the Premier League Fan Fest. We will be the MCs hosting. There should be probably like 10,000 people there.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And let me tell you something. NBC puts on a party, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. So you can go, you can register. You can see our pinned tweet. You can see it there. Or NBC.com, NBCSports.com/something Premier League Fan Fest Orlando, I think. But look, go to our pinned tweet, at Soccer Cooligans on Twitter. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Enjoy 2023. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.